This morning, I want to talk about expectancy. The expectancy is the act or state of expecting or having expectation. Expect is regarding something as likely to happen or to consider probable or certain. An expectation is a strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future. Father, hallelujah. We come together and just expect to hear your word. Father, we know that you're here already. Your presence is very thick. So, Father, we just expect to be blessed by you so much this morning. Father, just have your way. Father, we just bless you. Father, we just bless the word that's going to come forth this morning. In Jesus' name. Gaylord Kling, some of you know him. Dear, dear brother in Christ. Went on to be with the Lord. He was an elder here. He would go, I'm speaking about expectation now. He would go to a restaurant and, you know, we're placing our orders. And he'd get the waiter or the waitress and have the menu and say, I want it to be just like this. The picture pointing to in the menu, I want it to look exactly like this. How many know that's not necessarily the case? What's delivered to the table? Rarely, right? Restaurants are famous for making this beautiful picture. Get your salivary glands going. You just say, oh man, I gotta have this. You order it and they bring it to the table. I'm sorry, that's not what I ordered. So please throw up picture number one. Okay, so this, you go into order, right? And this is what you expect to receive. That looks delicious, doesn't it? That's something you want to order, something you just want to bite into and enjoy, right? Number two, please. This is what's delivered to the table. So it, has the reality met your expectation? Absolutely. Absolutely. You're really disappointed. Send it back. I want it to look like the picture was. Number three, please. Nice looking burrito. You know, the beans, the beef, the lettuce and the cheese and the sour cream, tomatoes. That looks appetizing, right? I expect that when I go into Taco Bell. That's not what I expect. That's the reality a lot of times. And I threw in these other pictures just because I thought it was funny. Next picture. This is how you may think when you cry. You know, you just, oh, what a wonderful picture of someone, you know, oh, that's just crying. But in reality, that's what you look like when you cry. You got snot running down your nose, bubbling out all over the place. So is that your reality? But that's not what you expect to look like, right? Okay, and then this one. I just love this. Lowering your expectation is the key to a happy life. Exactly. Exactly. Some people may think that way, but I don't believe that we should lower expectations when it comes to the things of God. Ephesians 3, 22-21 says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. I love that. It says, far more abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think. I know that I can ask and think some pretty big things of God. That doesn't even come close to what he's able to do in our lives. So my expectation is here. His expectation is way out here. He can meet your need more than what you can even imagine. Amen. He is there. He does it every single time. Now, I've got a few rhetorical questions I want to throw out there this morning. What are your expectations when you came here? What are your expectations from the encounter on an ongoing basis? What are your expectations for yourself? And then I guess most importantly, what are your expectations of God? Are you going to lower your expectations? Or are you going to think that God can do anything? All things are possible. I think I read that somewhere. All things are possible. When I walk into this place, my expectation is that I will encounter him. That's my expectation. I come in here. I gather together with my brothers and sisters. God's going to show up. I expect it. And when I expect it, he does not disappoint. It's been, you know, this has been confirmed over and over again about what God's doing in this place, his presence, the power. And unfortunately, I think sometimes we get a little complacent and take his presence for granted even. I mean, you look at, we can all come up with things that we've taken for granted. We've got a beautiful Lake Michigan out there. It's gorgeous. How many really think about it and enjoy the treasure that it really is? When was the last time you were down there to just soak it in? God created it. It's beautiful. You know, how many times, you know, do we take being Americans and all the blessings that it entails for granted? I mean, we need look no further than what's being splashed all over the news today with Ukraine and Israel and, you know, the stuff that they're going through and, you know, the persecutions that the Israelites are being put through with the Palestinians, or Hamas, I'll say, not the Palestinians. I thank God for this country. You know, and like I said, too many times we take it for granted. We take it for granted the freedoms that we have. We take it for granted all the suffering that all the people in the military had put into providing us those benefits that we have in this country. We take these things for granted. I hope that we don't get into that complacency with God's presence here. Let us not take it for granted. You know, people who have never been here before walk in and feel something. You know, I've walked folks in here and shown them around the campus and brought them into the sanctuary. And it's incredible, you know, as soon as you open up the doors, they walk in, they just say, whoa. And I've had them where the further they've walked down here towards the front, it just gets heavier and heavier and heavier on them. They just can't believe the presence of God. He's blessed us. You know, I've had folks say that they've driven by this place and they've just been drawn to come in. They don't know why. I know why. But they just felt, I got to come here. You know, members, attenders, visitors, they all comment about the presence of the Lord in this place. Craig Harper, who is director of Teen Challenge up in Milwaukee. Anybody know about Teen Challenge? It's a great, great ministry. Craig is the director up there, and he has gone and he takes his group to a bunch of different places, a bunch of different churches. And he's been here a number of times. And he came up to me one time and he says, you know, I've been to a lot of places, but you guys have something special here. We do. He's been to a lot of places, a lot of churches, you know, and I'm not knocking those churches, but when the guy who goes to those areas, visits all these different places, comes in and tell me, we have got something special, that just blows me away. Thank God for this place. God has a plan and a purpose for this house. There are so many prophecies that have been. Amen. Amen. So many prophecies that have been spoken over the encounter. Some have been fulfilled and some are yet to come. We should expect to see the things that God has spoken over this place will come to pass. That is my expectation. I want it to happen in my lifetime. You know, there's things that I've seen that just blow me away. This place right over here can be filled with crutches and wheelchairs. God, oh yeah. Oh my goodness. I'm going to read a couple of, we have a book of prophecies that have been spoken over this place. I'm going to read. When Betty was speaking, I saw this vision. This is from Al Newell. I saw this building, only it was many times larger than this building. It covered most of our property, and from the building I could see a heavenly glow. From inside, you could hear the praises of the people of God. You could see the strange people coming from all directions. They weren't driving their cars, they were walking, just huge lines coming from all over, singing the praises of God. I want to see that. Parking lot, not going to be able to handle everybody. The field, not going to be able to handle everybody. It's hallelujah. God has promised the city of Kenosha to the people of Lakeshore Tabernacle. For those that aren't aware, Lakeshore Tabernacle was our name. We've changed our name. God hasn't changed. He's also promised to bring people in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. He is doing this now, but we will see it more and more. He has said he would send people here for a time of training and spiritual refreshing, and then send them forth to do a work for him. We have seen this in a small measure. He has promised to lead the people of the encounter into unknown spiritual realms. Boy, if that doesn't get you fired up. Unknown spiritual realms. Phew. Yeah, buddy. Truly, says the Lord, didn't I say to you, come unto me, even as you come unto me, know that I, the Lord, your God, shall lift you up. Truly, the glory of the Lord shall be your portion. For even as I said in times past, truly I have planted you, even as a tree besides the waters. Even though the gates of hell would prevail, would try to cause you to turn, you would stand. For I, the Lord your God, have planted you. My children, I say to you, even as you were young, didn't the winds of adversity roar? And did I not support you? I will sustain you, says the Lord. Therefore, lift up your hands and rejoice. You are my choosing, says the Lord. Truly, you stand. Truly, I say unto you that the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. The glory's been great, but it's going to be nothing compared to what's going to happen in this house. Why? God's word spoken through people said it. Whew. Hallelujah. I got to take a drink of water after this, man.
Brother, do you remember one of the last things Gaylord did before he went home to be with the Lord? Was he had t-shirts made up for us men. And it said, why not here?
Why not now? Amen.
And the whole time he was speaking,
yep.
The Holy Spirit was saying to me, tell him now, Rich. Tell him now, Terry, you are to start that great outpouring right now.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, Lord.
Hallelujah. Yeah, I remember that day. I mean, we had just gotten back from the elders went out to Reading, to Bethel for a conference out there. Oh man, it was, and we came back and yeah, it was so awesome. It was so awesome. So where does our confidence that our expectation of what God can and will do come from? Why should we believe these things are going to happen? If there is anything we can always count on, it's Him. I love how the Message Bible explains this in Isaiah 46:11. It says, I've said it and almost certainly do it. I planned it, so it's as good as done. That's not my words. His words. And when he says it, it will happen. You know, we all have a tendency to have our expectations raised when we go to all these conferences and especially special speakers and things like that. And, you know, sometimes we get to thinking that, well, our normal church could never really meet up to those kinds of expectations. And I really understand that God has blessed individuals to speak into people's lives. There's special anointing on folks. I understand all that. But I also think that, you know, when we say, oh man, I'm so amazed at what that speaker, you know, shared, his wisdom. But God's wisdom is greater. Psalm 147:5 says, his understanding is infinite. That's big. That's a lot. We may be amazed at the grand vision given, but God's vision is beyond our imagination and is eternal. We may be amazed at the wonderful speakers, but God is the ultimate conference speaker, and he's available all day, every day. Don't have to go somewhere else to go find him. He's here, available to you all day, every day. And you don't have to pay to see him. And like I say, I don't have a problem with having expectations when, you know, we go to these special events or conferences, and God has made it clear that the size of an assembly or the fame of the place or the prestige of the speaker does not increase the chance of him being present. So why do people get blown away and blessed at these conferences or special meetings? I believe because they went there expecting something to happen. You make an effort to go somewhere, you travel across the country or down to Chicago or Milwaukee, you may pay to get in to see these things. You want some return on your investment. Expect to see the move of God because I traveled down this place or I paid $100 to see the speaker. You don't need to do that. Remember when I said God's the ultimate speaker and he's available all day, every day to you. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to go anywhere. He's there for you. And I'm not knocking it, but I'm just putting it in perspective here. You know, why do people go? Absolutely, there's great speakers, but they expect something they don't necessarily think that they can get at their local body. I don't believe that's true. But it's the expectation that they have leads them to open up and to receive what's going on. Every time we come together, each and every one of us should come expecting to have an encounter with God, whatever that looks like. Why? Because his word says so. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst." End of discussion. And when he's in our midst, incredible things happen. Signs, wonders, miracles will occur. Jesus said in John 14:12-13, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do, and greater works than these he will do." Let me pause there. He did some pretty cool things. He's telling us we're going to do greater than that. Expect it. Why? His word says it. End of discussion. Oh, because I go to the Father, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So given these scriptures, anything change about your expectations? You know, we all have, you know, there's realistic and unrealistic expectations. And I think we can all come up with some unrealistic expectation, like, well, I want to be as rich as, you know, Mr. Tesla himself, you know, Mr. the richest man in the world. I think that's an unrealistic expectation for me. May not be for you, but for me, I'm kind of, yeah. I mean, we can all come up with examples of unrealistic expectation from church, family, friends, government, even ourselves. Sometimes we just don't expect a lot of ourselves. And that's not right. That is not God. Here's some realistic expectations, though. Psalm 5:3 says, "In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch." Luke 9:10. "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, who seeks finds, and him who knocks, the door will be open." He said it, you can count on it. Isaiah 55:11, I want to read this out of the Amplified. "So will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, useless, or without results. Without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which it was sent." Hallelujah. This is so good to me, I tell you. Oh, my goodness. Here's some biblical examples of where of where people expected something. Mark 5, 25 through 34. A woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up to the crowd behind him and touched his cloak, for she thought, if I just touch his garment, I will get well. You think she had an expectation there? Immediately, the flow of her blood had dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately, Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garment? Rhetorical question, because he knows. It's just like when God is in the, you know, Garden of Eden asking, well, where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve? You can't hide from God. I mean, he created the universe. He created Adam and Eve. And he says, oh, where are you? I digress. His disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith, expectation, has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Matthew 8, 5 to 10. And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him and saying, Lord, my servant is laying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, my servant will be healed. He had expectation. For I am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to the other one, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. Now, when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following him, truly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. Mark 2, 1 through 12, the paralytic. I love this story. When he came back to Capernaum several days afterwards, it was heard that he was at home, and many were gathered together, so that there was no longer room, not even near the door, and he was speaking the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit further down, said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. And we know the rest of the story. He was healed. They picked up his pallet and went out. I like Spurgeon's expository notes on this thing. It says, those who brought this man to Jesus believed that he could and would heal him. And Jesus delighted to honor their faith and perhaps the faith of the paralytic. I've always read that scripture, and I said, Jesus saw their faith. How can the paralytic have faith, right? He saw the faith of the four that brought him, and he honored that faith. Remember, your faith is sufficient. When you're praying for someone, they may not have faith that God is going to heal them. All he needs to do is see your faith. Your faith is sufficient. They don't have to have an ounce of faith in their bones. God wants to move. He wants to honor your faith. Jesus saw their faith, perhaps. The paralytics himself wasn't able to muster any faith, but those who brought him did. Hallelujah. I believe that faith is an act and evidence of expectation. Hebrews 11:1 says, out of the Amplified, now faith is the assurance, title deed confirmation, of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. You know, we need to take comfort in knowing that he is a just God in all his dealings. We need to approach the Christian life with great expectations on a daily basis, whether we're here at the encounter, a conference, with friends, at work, whatever the case may be. Sitting at home, absolutely. God is with you. God is in you. God can overwhelm you wherever you're at. Expect it. Every day is a learning experience when Christ is in you. The important thing is to be expectant. Based on what Jesus promised and on what other followers of Jesus have experienced, here's what you can expect as a Christian. Transformation. You will be different. You don't have a slide for this one, but 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. What's behind you is gone. As far as the east is from the west, you are a new creature. You are being transformed. And it's a process. Yes, you're saved and God has changed you, but there's a process of sanctification. You know, I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I'm going to be, but I'm working on it, you know? I'm being transformed. We can expect trouble. Yeah, Jesus promised trouble. Tribulation, conflict, even persecution. In James 1, 2 through 4, we are told, consider it all joy, my brethren, when, not if, you encounter various trials. That's kind of tough to do when you're going through it. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So we're going to go through it. How do we go through it is the telling thing. You know, are we going to sit there and, oh, woe is me, and just, you know, wallow in it? Or are we going to say, no, Christ is my Savior, he is my rock, he is my salvation, and I'm just going through this period of time. I know I'm going to end up coming out of it. I'm not going to stay in it. Your life is going to be changed. Everything about you will be made fully alive. John 3:16 says, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You've got significance. You may not always know how your life will count for the kingdom of God, but you can be sure that it will. 1 Corinthians is another scripture you don't have, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 3:16, 17. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? You've got significance carrying that with you. You don't, yeah. You've got a future, both in this life and in eternity. We need to take comfort in Jeremiah 29:11-12. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And you're never going to be alone. Family. Familia. Matthew 28:20. And surely I am with you always, surely I am with you always. You may not feel it, but his word says he's there. When? To the very end of the age. That's like forever. So in keeping with all the scriptures we've been talking about, what do you think is correct? Show slide 8, please. Oh, no. Go back to yeah. The church is not a cruise ship where a handful of people serve everyone else who is relaxing. Next one. Church is supposed to be a battleship where it's all hands on deck and everyone serves the mission. If you're in the military, you know what that means. You're serving the mission. When you're in church, you need to serve the mission. Whatever that looks like, cleaning up, kids' church, missions. There's opportunities galore. Yeah, I like it. I liken this to JFK's inaugural address when he said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I don't think it's unrealistic to expect that if you call the Encounter your home church, that you would involve yourself in the life of the church. And that means more than just coming here on Sunday mornings. Please receive that from my heart. I don't want to condemn anyone. I want to encourage you. You'll be blessed when you're operating in the body of Christ. You will be blessed beyond belief. You think, well, you know, it's a give, give, give. You receive, receive, receive. Good scripture. We need to put some legs to it. You know, it's following Jesus' lead. Did he come to be served, like on the cruise ship, or to serve? Matthew 20:28 said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Luke 22:27, for who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. Paul told us in Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. You know, we've got a ton of ministries in this church, a ton of ministries. And, you know, I'm just blessed and blown away by the folks that are involved. But I also see opportunities for a whole lot more people to be involved, for ministries that have yet to be formed, to be established. We have a lost and dying country out there. We need to do something about it. And it's not done by just coming here on Sundays. Sorry if that offends you. We need to be the church, folks. God didn't save us for just our comfort and our well-being, knowing that we're going to go to heaven. He's given us a purpose and a hope. So let's fulfill it. My final expectation example is of Jesus. You can throw up that last slide. This is where my expectation is the same as reality. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6 in the Amplified. He himself has said, I will never, under any circumstances, desert you, nor give up on you, nor leave you without support, nor will I in any degree leave you helpless. Nor will I forsake or let you down or relax my hold on you, assuredly not. That's the reality. Lastly, Matthew 6:33 in the Amplified says, but first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness. His way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all of these things will be given to you also. Let's get our priorities straight. Let's get our reality and our expectation focused in the right way. And let's come expecting. You walk through those doors, expect to encounter him. You go together with a neighbor, expect for him to show up. You pray for someone, expect them to receive whatever it is that you're praying for, healing, emotional, physical, financial, expect it. Jesus will see your faith. Expect it to happen. Father, I just give you thanks for this morning. I thank you that we can expect to come to you and you hear us, Father. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. Father, I just bless your people today. Father, let them be all that you want them to be, Father. Let them expect great things because you're a great God and you want great things for your people. So, Father, have your way. Bless them as they go, Father. We pray all these things. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Be blessed.